a Nickelodeon original podcast.
Did you know you can get bonus episodes of Avatar Braving the Elements? Subscribe to Avatar Braving the Elements Premium
on Apple Podcasts for early access, extra episodes, and ad-free listening. Just $2.99 a month.
Friends, benders, and non-benders alike, welcome to Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast about all things Avatarverse. I'm Janet Varney.
And I'm Dante Bosco. And this week we're covering a special episode from Book 3 that's very entertaining and also very stressful, Varney.
Yeah, I love so much of the animation and writing choices in this episode, but foreshadow report, Aang's level of stress is like even worse than the Chase episode last season, where none of Team Avatar was getting much sleep.
You mean the one where everyone was squabbling with each other because they were being so exhausted for being chased by Azula nonstop?
Oh, exactly. It was like every time you think you can just relax and take a breath because she's nowhere nearby.
You pitiful fools, I've been here the entire time and have been merely waiting for the perfect moment to strike you down with my awe-striking power.
She's back. That voice.
It looks like I got a hold of the scissors. Hello. Like I did in that episode where I just kind of put a little number on myself.
Oh, foreshadow report.
Bang,
foreshadow
sisters.
Report. That voice has nightmares.
Strikes
we're in the nightmare.
Fear into your heart. Yes.
It's so annoying. Oh my God.
But you love
God.
Me though. You love me.
I love you. I hate you, but I love you. Yeah. I hate you though. Welcome back to the show, Gray.
Yay!
I'm so happy to be here. I cosplayed, and you're sitting there in your black shirt. You couldn't even be bothered to put on a burgundy something schmata.
I've got my Azula. I'm doing all my holiday cameos, so I'm ready in my with my Azula bumper.
You're killing the game. You're killing the
perfection. I keep wearing shirts you can't actually see when I'm
camouflage?
On camera, but there they are. Everybody's there. The party is happening on my shirt. Don't worry, everyone. Gray, we love having you on the podcast. We love being at cons with you. We love friendship with you in and outside of the Avatarverse. Thank you so much for being here,
everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, Gray DeLisle, the world's most interesting woman. That's how I usually
to myself
introduce her.
To all of us.
Ask anyone. Ask me. I'll tell you.
Since it is a special day, I will show mercy. You are banished. Leave this palace immediately.
All right. Well, before we get into today's episode of Last Airbender, we would like to do a little review of where we are in the show. Varney, you've done a couple of these already, so I'm going to keep it going. Can you summarize last week's episode of The Puppet Master in haiku form?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Anything for you, Bosco. Absolutely. Let's make these like questions.
Okay.
The Puppet Master. Screams in a mountain? Treating people like puppets? What dark force is this? And that's the Puppet Master. That's what happens in the Puppet Master.
Blood like bending. Blood bending.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Damn, Hama.
Hard pass.
Hama, is that you?
Hard pass.
Okay, so as we dig into this week's episode, I think we need to go a little further back than just the Puppet Master because it's actually been a minute since we really spent a lot of time talking about the upcoming eclipse that will allow the Allied forces here to attack the Fire Nation when they're weak. Because, of course, we learn about this eclipse at the library for the first time. And at the beginning of the season, we definitely get a sense of the level of anxiety that Aang still feels thinking about having to face Ozai during this time and feeling the weight of his responsibility as the Avatar.
What happened, Aang?
It's the nightmares. They just get worse and worse.
Looks like it's time for another therapy session.
No, that won't help. Nothing helps. There's only one thing I can do. I'm gonna stay awake straight through to the invasion.
With the eclipse just 4 days away, Aang's anxiety about the upcoming invasion is at its peak. His fear of being unprepared to face Fire Lord Ozai keeps him up at night. And when he does sleep, he's plagued by terrible dreams. He replaces sleeping with training, and eventually gets to the point of hallucinating while he's awake. What will it take to get him a good night's sleep? We also check in with Zuko and May and find out where Zuko's paranoias lie. For some reason, he doesn't trust Azula, which is ridiculous. I'm very trustworthy. The episode was written by our buddy John O'Brien and directed by our other friend of the show, Ethan Spalding.
Dante, were you prepared?
This is Azula in front of you. I have to read.
No, I'm not prepared for Azula telling me a bedtime story right now. Is Azula telling you a bedtime story right now? What the heck is going on?
You gotta do it in character.
I hide behind this. It's a defense mechanism. I can't be the real me.
I loved it.
Wow. I was not prepared for that. But yep. Here we go, you guys. I know you guys weren't prepared for that either.
Yep.
The episode opens onto an evening with some koala sheep, which I love, some koala sheep, sleeping peacefully on a rolling hillside. And for Shadow Report, these cute little guys actually figure pretty prominent in this episode. I don't think they're so cute. I don't think two animals go together as well as a koala and a sheep.
Very perfect. Cute. And you, very cute.
Right. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think it to be a tranquil scene, but when Team Avatar emerges from the forest, we learn from Sokka that they've arrived at the exact location he and his dad picked for where the invasion force were rendezvous to attack the Fire Nation in 4 days. The 4 days thing hits Aang pretty hard, which I don't blame him for. I'd pretty probably be freaked out too. But the rest of the gang try to reassure him that they're ready for this next step. And right now, they should just focus on getting some well-earned rest. Unfortunately for Aang, sleep doesn't necessarily mean rest. But at first, the dream Aang's having seems pretty promising. Aang's tough, confident, and looking real similar to Goku in Dragon Ball Z. I love the artwork in this episode as he confronts a grape-gobbling Ozai in a surreal cave. But when Ozai points out that Aang is naked from the waist down, Aang grabs what looks like an Air Nation kind of bath mat to cover up. He's not wearing pants, you guys. Yeah, maybe he got inspired by the swamp
awkward
benders. No pants. No pants.
Yeah.
It's just an illusion. And then, you know, he's naked from the waist down. Aang grabs what looks like an Air Nation bathroom to cover up just before a bunch of giant eyes, spooky little eyes, start appearing everywhere in the cave and start staring at him. And just before the dream ends, we realize Ozai is huge. Cackling while a tiny Aang backs away. Aang wakes up with a gasp, quick to make sure he still has his pants on. It's the middle of the night, and Aang figures as long as he's up, he might as well get some training done, which in this case means attacking a bush.
Yeah, you get that bush, Aang. You get that bush. The next morning, we see Zuko being catered to by servants at the palace, but he turns down their offers of fruit and foot washing and head massages and settles for just a hot towel. Zuko, are you crazy? People pay a lot of money to have all of those treatments and services. What are you doing?
He does take the hot towel, though. He does take the hot towel.
He takes the hot towel. He takes that hot towel, which they always turn cold very quickly. So whatever.
Tom Kenny, SpongeBob, his mom flew first class for the first time and they were handing out the hot towels and she had never been in first class. And she told him, I didn't take any of those cannolis they were handing out. They were handing out these cannolis. I didn't take them. Come around, I think that. Anyway, okay.
And now I will too. I love it. He enjoys his hot cannoli, and then he heads out of the palace to a huge crowd of just fans, you know, people, just a lot of people who love him, want to get a glimpse of him.
He's a prince.
Want to cheer him on. He's a prince. He intends to just walk over to May's house, but he finds out he has to be carried there on a palanquin, which, by the way, led me to like a semi-deep dive on the history of wheelless carriages and how they seem to have originated in East Asia as far back as 250 BC. You all watched the episode, so you know what I'm talking about. But it sort of looks like a bed with a roof, and then the person sits on that to be carried by several people lifting in that, supporting the structure.
Started out with the Flintstones, and then it just,
And then it just grew from there. It was popular, as many things, the Flintstones popular.
Hey, the palanquin was cool, I mean.
It's very cool for the people that are riding in it, not the people that are carrying
it. Yeah, exactly. Correct. It's rough. That's rough money
There's
for
always
the people that.
That
are carrying it.
There's always that. So he, and then of course you see, he just gets carried like such a short distance to May's house. And we leave him and head back to check on Aang, who is now punching a tree. So good for him. And then the sound wakes up the rest of Team Avatar. And Katara warns Aang that there is such a thing as overtraining, but Aang is not having it.
You don't get it, do you? My form is bad, I'm sloppy, and I still don't know any firebending. Not even the basics.
That's okay, Aang. The eclipse will block all firebending anyway. You don't need to know any. Plus, it's a stupid element.
Well,
that's a stupid.
Only
statement,
a half of it. Only it? Half stupid. Only my brother's half.
I mean, I get it. There is a thing about fire. You know, there's like water and there's earth and there's all these very tangible elements, which is cool to have a tangible element. Fire is like a, you know, an elusive element.
Fleeting, ephemeral. Burns
ephemeral.
Everything
out. It's not for everybody. It's not
you
for
you need
everyone.
It, but it's very destructive. Just like
exactly. It's very destructive.
You need me, but I'm destructive.
Could be cleansing. Could be cleansing, well, too. Some may say destructive. Some say it could be cleansing.
Sure. True. Sometimes the forest needs to burn down.
So that night, an exhausted Aang, who apparently has been training the entire day, tries to get some rest. And once again, we dive into Aang's dream. He's back at Ozai to tell the giant Fire Lord his days are numbered. And he even has pants on. But he's totally unprepared for the math test he's apparently supposed to take. And he falls backward in panic, only to get squished between two beads of a giant abacus. Aang springs awake once again, off to practice through the night. He circles a pile of sleeping koala sheep while Katara convinces him to get some more sleep. Back at the palace, Zuko and May cuddle on the sofa where May tells Zuko about an upcoming all-day war meeting that Azula mentioned. I had a big mouth that day. Which Zuko knows nothing about. Zuko assumes he wasn't invited. We go back to Aang, who seems to be awakened by Lord Ozai himself, telling him he overslept and missed the entire invasion. The flying hippo cow Ozai is riding breathes fire at Aang before they disappear. And Aang wakes up for real. He desperately asks Sokka what day it is. They've still got 2 days before the invasion. But Aang keeps remembering horrible things that happened to Team Avatar in his dreams and starts applying them to waking life.
Don't drink that! Why? Is it poison? In my dream, we were right in the middle of the invasion, and you had to stop to use the bathroom. We died because of your tiny bladder. And you need to start wearing your hair up. In my dream, your hair got caught in a train and—
Aang, I know you're just trying to help, but you really need to get a grip.
I love that this particular episode of Braving the Elements is like Zuko's nightmare, where Azula is just hanging out with Janet and Dante talking about the
like,
show.
What is going
it's
on?
So plotting, meta. Plotting, and planning.
I love it. Oh, by the way, in that dream, so we have this kind of continuing theme happening where in this this new dream that Aang has, now he looks like Vash the Stampede from the Trigun anime.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out who that was. Okay, very cool. Okay, now Aang's developed a pretty crazy twitching eye and various other nervous mannerisms the rest of the gang notices, but Katara's got a plan to calm Aang down. Hot yoga. Which, sorry Katara, but it's understandable why this only reminds Aang of the Fire Nation and the Fire Lord engulfing the world in flames. So could maybe some therapy talk help instead? What if there were a famed therapist and all of a sudden, bam, Wang Fire is back in the house. As soon as I saw him, I was like, is that Wang Fire? Sokka is really getting
Sokka's
a lot of use
that
out
beard.
Of his fake beard from the headband. Yeah, from the headband. Wang Fire has come around a lot this season. Sokka gets Aang to open up about his fears and then has him scream into a pillow, otherwise known as a koala sheep, which, you know, pillow screaming therapy. But Aang doesn't feel any better. So let's take a break and go hang out with Azula as she gets her hair washed and combed. I mean, she's such a princess. You start to really see in this episode, like, the royalness of this. These siblings, the royalness of the royalness. Like,
yeah,
Prince Zuko got the fans and people out there, and then you got Azula being pampered, and she's really taken to it. She's having a whole spa day.
And I get to banish myself. Because I played the girl who didn't get the cherry pits out, and I got to banish myself.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, wow.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Until I watched the show, I didn't realize how many characters, because I'm Katara's mom. I'm Katara and Sokka's mom, too. And I'm
Ursa.
Lord.
When you got Grey Delisle, you use Grey Delisle. That's all I'm going to say.
Use.
I mean,
take advantage. Take advantage.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm May's little baby who, the little brother who goes missing. Sorry. the little baby.
No, no. Sorry. You have so many
bragging,
characters.
So please don't run over me, Vaughn, trying to brag about myself.
I would never, really I would never like dream of it.
Carry on. Carry on, idiot.
Okay.
A little bit.
So, and then Zuko shows up to find out from Azula why he wasn't invited to the war meeting. You know, sis, what's up? And Azula says he doesn't really need to be invited because, you know, you're a prince, like act like one. Which kind of makes sense. And Zuko's like, oh, Zuko's being Zuko. And so he kind of cool with it. But then Zuko's like, nah, I'm not even going to go. This is like the teenager part of him starts coming out.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, he decides he doesn't want to go because doing things that spy has always gone well for him thus far, right? So let's go check back in with the poor stressed out Aang who's getting a pretty intense rock massage from Toph, which did look very painful. And
didn't
it
look
proves
great.
To be very painful. Yeah. No. I mean, no. And Toph decides it's time for a little acupuncture and she offers up a little porcupine also.
Thank you.
Toph's not the most gentle. Not the most gentle of the gang. And so, unfortunately, we don't get to see how this is going to work because Aang, understandably, runs for cover.
Yeah, I would too. And I do like that porcupine, but please don't put the spines in me. Meanwhile, Mei tries to cheer Zuko up, but shockingly, because most attempts to cheer Zuko up do work, she said, shaking her head sadly. It doesn't work. That night, the rest of Team Avatar pats themselves on the back for being so much help in calming poor Aang down. And as they doze off, we see exactly how helpful they were. Aang is still a complete basket case. He does manage to fall asleep, but he falls, of course, straight into a nightmare of this. It's getting worse, right? It's getting worse. Now he's like in this lightning storm of horror, complete with a giant Momo grabbing at Aang and Appa. And that's just the beginning. This dream is extremely surreal. That makes it very cool to watch. Great animation by the Avatar team.
Amazing.
So many horrible and scary and weird things happen in this dream. We're not even going to describe them all because it's not possible. So just go back and watch this one if you need a refresher. But ultimately, the dream ends with Aang watching Sozin's comet destroy his surroundings. Horrible. He wakes up with a scream. And at this point, Aang has like very bloodshot eyes, very tired and bloodshot eyes. And you don't make great decisions when you're sleep deprived. Well, Aang decides that the best course of action for him at this point is just to go ahead and stay awake all the way through the invasion. Super smart.
God.
Great call.
Yeah.
Really good call, Aang.
Got an important meeting coming up, but worried no one will take you seriously? Need a quick and easy disguise? Or just wish you had some new way of showing your deepened thought?
Well, look no further than Sokka's new line of authoritative beards, available in a wide variety of one single color with your choice of one specific shape and size. Sokka's authoritative beard has you covered, specifically on the lower half of your face.
Sokka's authoritative beards. Store in a cool, dry place. Do not hand wash, machine wash, or dry clean. May cause rash over entire body.
Katara continues to try and talk sense into Aang, but he's convinced he's seeing things perfectly clearly.
I see everything so clearly now. What really matters? Why I'm really doing this? I'm doing it to save the world, but more than that, I'm doing it for the people I love. I'm doing it for you, Katara.
Aang, what are you saying?
I'm saying I love you.
What are we doing?
What our hearts have been telling us to do for a long, long time. Baby, you're my forever girl.
But then we realize Aang is just daydreaming while Katara watches. Excellent fake out by the writers. Yes.
Now, did you guys think, like, this is one of those great moments in storytelling where everybody gets to see this thing happen that they want to see happen. They get to see Aang be like,
everybody wants to see this happen?
And I'm going to take you and kiss you.
Everybody wants to see this happen?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm not saying that. I'm not even saying I want to see it. I'm saying in a generic, general sense, when you are a consumer of entertainment and ostensibly this thing is happening that you're like, oh my gosh, it's finally happening, whatever that thing might be. And then it turns out to just be a dream. Like, I did think this. I totally fell for it. I should have known. Of course, he's still dreaming.
No, it was good,
just like
though.
You were saying, Gray, like the waking up. Yeah. The waking up in a dream still.
right. within. Yeah.
It's strange. But yeah. it's nice to have a dream and it goes exactly how you want it to go. You know, it's like, oh, this is well, sure. exactly how I wanted it to go. That
I didn't
great.
Realize I was shipping Zutaro so hard until that moment. I was like, wait a minute, no. And then at the end, I thought, oh, this can't be happening either. When at the end, when May's with him, I was like, oh, this is just a dream. He's not really with me. He's with Katara. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, bye-bye. Ending of the series, I guess.
Yes. You speak for many. Yeah. You speak for many.
Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of couples, let's check in with May and Zuko. A servant arrives to tell Zuko that everyone at the war meeting is waiting for him. Ozai won't even start the meeting until Zuko gets there. That's gotta feel good. But before we get to see if Zuko might smile for once, we're back with Aang, who's rocking some serious dark circles under his eyes and training even more feverishly. Sokka's building armor for Appa, while Aang has an interesting conversation with Momo. So yeah, that
Love
was
it.
Oh my God, Dee Bradley Baker in that. I love so it. That I Dee Bradley Baker was just the gift that kept on giving through the entire series. I just love him so much, and he's so talented.
He's amazing.
Nobody else could have done that. Maybe Frank Welker, okay. but I really feel like yeah.
I know. I was wondering if it was Dee doing both those voices. So he was, and
all
actually
of them, every
they
creature.
They yeah. sound exactly how you think they'd sound if they were talking.
Yeah,
you know, which is great.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. And it's, yeah, it's not him translate. It's not like him being like, these are the sounds that these creatures make. Therefore, I'll just try to make those into
no,
language.
No, it's got like its own.
It's
yes,
its own vibe. It's, like, it's its own vibe with
they
their
have
personalities.
Their own souls. Yeah.
Yes. It's perfect. Yes. It's perfect. Okay. So all of this is happening. The gang takes this opportunity to make one more attempt to intervene.
We're all starting to get a little worried about you.
You've been awake too long.
And you're acting downright weird.
You've got to take care of yourself. You can't go on like this.
But this conversation leads to a surprising face-off between Momo and Appa. They're over each other. And it's time to fight, samurai style. Luckily, I happen to have this figure here. If anyone wants to see
what
they are dressed like, I have
no.
this figure
what
from
the
Dark
heck?
Horse Direct.
That's amazing.
That's right. Here
Where
we
did
have
you get
their dress
what
for
the
duel.
Heck? When did you get that?
The perks of
I
being
got it
Korra.
From Dark Horse. They sent oh it to me so I could show God. It off. Momo is dressed. Oh. Here he is over here. He's dressed like the comic book character Miyamoto Usagi. And then we have our amazing Appa armor. So I'm holding up a figure for those of you who are just listening. Check it out. I've got it up on social media as well. You can enjoy that fantastic. It is awesome, heavy. It's a collector. It's rad. I'm glad I got a chance to show it off.
That would be a good cosplay for two people to do,
oh,
like
yeah.
Momo and Appa in the
Absolutely.
Armor. That would be really good.
Never That's a brilliant
six
cosplay.
Arms. You're going to need six arms.
That challenge
Appa.
Has been issued. They can make it happen. We've seen Appas out there. Now they just need the armor. So, yeah, I love this yes. challenge from Great Alel. Everybody, you heard it from Azula. You better do it. Okay. So the koala sheep cheer and a six-armed Guru Patik slides by, kind of singing about chakras.
Chakras, chakras, everybody loves chakras, 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 and it is good, yum.
And I mean, again, there's just a lot happening here. What else we got? We got rock snakes that are made out of rocks. We got a tree stump Ozai. We've got Aang, who thinks he needs to jump in a cold waterfall. Like, that's going to make him feel better. I don't know. Maybe.
And then we go back to the palace. Zuko returns from the war meeting and gives May a recap of how it all went down, noting that everyone was eerily very welcoming and that Ozai sat him literally at his right hand.
During the meeting, I was the perfect prince. The son my father wanted. But I wasn't me.
But does Zuko even know himself anymore? Meanwhile, Aang arrives at what seems like a bed made of clouds, and it's not a hallucination. It's a real bed. Softness from a koala sheep or tons of koala sheep, their fur, made into a mattress of some sort.
Love it.
The gang tells Aang he really can and must sleep and that he's strong and capable and he's not alone. Aang falls asleep and it's back to another dream. Uh-oh, but this time it's Ozai who gets caught without pants. Luckily, he too has a bath mat to cover his royal parts. in a Fire Nation emblem, of course. End of episode.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, they look like bath mats to me, which I thought was very funny. It's just like this perfectly sized circular rug that you happen to have handy. It's great. It's great.
Yes.
Shout out to the Avatar Wiki. We like to check in with Avatar Wiki, and they say that this episode is paying homage to several movies. You might recognize little nods or be reminded of certain other movies like Lord of the Rings or The Ring or The Grudge or A Nightmare on Elm Street and several other kind of fantasy dream related movies. And right. I do also love that the noodle picture that Aang made of Ozai when he was at the school is now being used for target practice. Again, this season, maybe because they're staying mostly in one place, there's just so many like payoffs of things that you see in an episode that come back that you're like, oh, I know what that is. That's that noodle thing that he made when he was, you know what I mean? And it's just very clever. Because sometimes I go into this mode where I'm like, no one knew what was happening. The story was just unfolding episode by episode.
I'm
like surprised, like, oh, wait, they were right. They wrote all of this. Like, of course they could bring back the noodle picture. Why wouldn't
but
you?
I love the homage to all the anime. I love all the homage to Dragon Ball, all the anime, because a lot of people talk about how this is the gateway show that got a whole generation into anime from American cartoons. And they'll see a lot of these things that they're going to watch later on as they get into anime of these characters and stuff. And just, I love that kind of crossover.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Everybody loves the kind of mashups, even if they're just like small kind of winks, you know? Okay, so Animal Crossing, we know we have our adorable koala sheep. We have a hippo cow that Ozai is riding.
That hippo cow was impressive. What was that? Yeah.
Remember how we had that whole conversation about, I think it was with John O'Brien. John O'Brien
ate
the hippo cow, and the hippo cow eats meat. And we were like, wait, do hippos or cows eat meat? And he's like, I don't think so, but this one does. So
we saw him chilling in the village. But to see him flying now, the hippo cow, because a lot of people don't know that hippos are pretty ferocious animals. Like, they look cute.
That's
but
true.
They're like, they say they have more killings than like lions and some kind of weird stat. I was like, really?
Yeah, so I was thinking maybe they do eat meat because I heard that they're like deadly. So maybe they do.
They're
do.
Deadly.
I don't know.
And then this particular hippo cow had wings. So it was like part Pegasus or something like that. And then he was breathing fire like a dragon. Like, what the hell kind of hippo cow is this? This is crazy.
Yeah. Maybe it has something to do with the hippocampus. Is that involved in dreams? Mm. I've started a joke, but I don't know anything about the physiology of the brain. So I immediately regretted it. As soon as I said it, I was like, I don't know what the hippocampus does. It probably has nothing to do with dreams. Never mind.
That's where you keep the Hippocratic oath.
Thank you. Thank you, Gray. She really showed up for me. Yeah. Okay. So and then we talked about our dreams and recurring nightmares. We also asked you guys, our cabbage heads, Kirstie Jeanette and Kirsten Kurz, both have those teeth falling out. Horrible dreams. It's, again, so visceral. It's like, when was the last time you lost a tooth? But you can put your tongue up in the hole and go, yep, that's what it's like when you've lost a tooth. It's crazy what your brain remembers. It's crazy.
In the dreams, they kind of crumble. Mine are like turn into just like where you can't put any stress on them. They just completely crumble. They're not like falling out. They're just like crumbling.
Teeth. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
Mine are intact and falling out. And I can, just the solidness of them. I'm like, oh, God, no. Like taking them out. It's awful.
Oh,
it's awful.
One time a pig bit me in the hand and then teeth grew out of my hand.
Stop. Hold on. Hold on. Back up.
I don't know what happened.
You had a dream where a pig bit you in the hand and then teeth grew out of your hand?
Yep. Yeah.
In your dream?
Of course.
In my dream. A pig bit my hand. And then teeth started growing out of it.
A piggy bank. A piggy bank bit your hand and then money grew out of your hand. It's a good dream.
I guess money grew out of my hand.
Falling teeth
about
money.
I think it was. Yeah, I don't know. It was weird.
You're golden.
Thank you.
Okay, and then who else? Okay. We got to get the free falling dream in there. John's Forgotten Spam says free falling and waking up before hitting the ground. I've definitely had that dream. Have you guys?
Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've also hit the ground.
Aldirana. Hard pass. What was that like? Did it hurt? Did you feel pain?
It was crazy. It was a roller coaster. I couldn't put the thing down. you know, I couldn't put the thing down. And the thing went off. And the next thing I'm hanging out of the roller coaster. Then I get flung from the roller coaster. And I'm flying. And I'm like, I'm going to wake up before I hit the ground. And I don't wake up.
Sure.
And I tumble.
Oh,
and,
no.
But what's crazy is after I tumbled and hit the ground, I was like, let's do it again. And I did it again.
Oh, wow. Fun.
Classic. Okay.
That's what I do in life. I make a huge mistake, get very hurt. Then I'm like, let's do that again.
I know.
I got issues. Someone's breaking down my dreams. They're like, Dante, you have a problem. That guy has an issue. And I ride motorcycles. I think it had something to do with riding motorcycles, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. All right. This all sounds very dangerous. Alderaana has the I'm on stage. I don't know my choreography dream. And Stephen Roberto has a dream about meeting with random people that they've never met before. And then JLo 15 and Liquifatter, and we all love reading Instagram handle names. Snuggler 23 have that high school dream that we were talking about. You wake up and you're back in high school. That is a very popular dream, recurring dream. Michael Crandall has dreams about horror villains in movies. I definitely did when I was little. I had Freddy Krueger dreams a lot. Before I had ever seen the movies. Mm. And by the way, your dreams are much scarier than the movies themselves. Rob Sodafoto has a flying, but then not being able to fly in the middle of flying dream, which you would imagine turns into the I'm plummeting. Hopefully you wake up before you hit the ground, or you're just excited and want to do it again. And then also ages hence has old job dreams. I've had old job dreams. I've also had past relationship dreams where, all due respect to anyone I've dated, I've adored them. But if you are in a dream where you're like, oh no, how am I back in this relationship?
I thought I ended this.
We ended this. We're not supposed to be together at all. How did this happen? And then you wake up and you're like, oh, okay. No, that was just a dream. So I can relate to all of that. All right, let's talk about most valuable bending and most valuable non-bending before we wrap it up for the day. What do you guys think about who had the most valuable bending moment of the episode? And there really isn't a ton going on in real life. It's mostly in dream, whatever's going on in Aang's dream. So I'm not even sure what my answer is for this one.
Bending, most valuable bending. Was there any bending in this episode?
This is really Aang-centric and really Zuko finding out stuff. And like having, you know, sister time and May time and all of that. I don't know. I mean, I guess. God, is there any?
No. I mean, I'm sure Azula was practicing behind the scenes, and it was probably the best ending of the
episode. Not that she needs to practice.
It just got cut. It just got cut. It ended up on the editing room floor. But I did the best bending.
That's right. I'm not super keen on anything that Toph does to Aang. It all seems super painful. I don't know. Let us know. Tell us what you think the most valuable bending in this episode is. And then do we have thoughts on most valuable non-bending in this episode?
I mean,
I did the most valuable non-bending as well because I was not bending very much in the episode.
And yes, yet you are the most
valuable.
You're
getting your hair washed. You're getting that hair washed. Hair wash, shampoo bending was doing pretty good for Azula.
Yes.
I think getting that bed together for Aang to finally get some rest is probably.
I'm starting to lean towards Sokka getting the most use of that fake beard. I mean, that guy is really, he gets a lot of mileage out of it. He keeps trotting it out for various episodes. You know, I'm starting to lean towards that being most valuable non-bending, but I guess that's a little snide.
He's so cute.
All right. Okay. This is about Aang. Maybe it's just Aang conquering his fear. That's the most valuable non-bending, is he's so terrified and so anxious.
Yeah.
And then he's finally able to get some sleep so that he can get ready for the invasion, which foreshadow report may not go as planned. So it's a brief moment of joy before yikes. But we'll get to that next week. In the meantime, Gray Delisle, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Thank you, Gray. Always great hanging out with you.
You are Azula.
I adore you guys.
We love Azula. We hate Azula.
And
we love
I'm
Azula.
Just happy
follow
to be
Gray
here.
On Spotify. We love our Azula. Follow Gray on Spotify. There's such a bunch of different, like constantly different, new, wonderful music. There's something for everyone.
She's so diverse. She does so
many different types of music. There's stuff for kids. There's stuff for adults. There's stuff for everybody.
Yay. Thanks so much, you guys. I love you guys. Yay.
We love you. Yeah. We love you, Gray.
Thank you.
All right, everyone.
We love you, Gray.
Okay.
Azula, bye. Not so much.
All right. She doesn't love you either.
All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Avatar Braving the Elements. Now, want more Avatar? You can follow the official Avatar accounts at Avatar The Last Airbender on Instagram and Facebook. You can also follow the official Avatar Braving the Elements account on TikTok at Avatar Official Podcast.
Tell your fellow Avatar friends to listen, rate, and follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
This podcast is hosted by Janet Varney and Dante Bosco. The theme song was composed and produced by Jeremy Zuckerman. Audio production and editing was provided by Zeke Rodriguez-Thomas and MindJam Media. Avatar Braving the Elements was executive produced by Lynn Keston-Sessler. Produced by Lisa Summerscales-Thieler with consulting producer Janet Varney, with production support from Kira Chow, and special thanks to Avatar Studios, Garrett Beltis, and Danielle Pretzfelder-Demchik. Trademark, copyright, and phone record, 2023 Viacom International Incorporated, all rights reserved. This has been a Nickelodeon original podcast.